This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And that is the role of the youth in the seerah. The role of the youth and the Prophet's relationship with the young, the next generation. What can we learn from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from the Seerah about the Prophet's interaction with the next generation? The Quran itself mentions certain things that indicate that the young generation has something the elders do not have. They have a zeal. They have a passion. They have high aspirations that are generally not found once you get to an older age. And that could be for good and it could be for bad. So for example, when it comes to good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he stood up and he preached tawheed and he destroyed the idols. And the people, they said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَن يَذْكُرُهُمْ. There's this young lad that's mentioning the gods. Allah described him with the adjective of that youthfulness. Because when you're young, you're idealistic and you have passion. Likewise, in another positive, Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They were a group of young men who believed in their Lord. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They were young men, they believed in their Lord, and we increased their hidayah. So when you are young, you're full of energy, it is very possible you can do what the elders cannot do. And on the flip side, there is a reference to that youthful passion being misused and abused. For example, in the qawm of the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, who was the one who destroyed the camel? Allah says, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ. That there was a gang of nine rahd. And our mufassirun say, these were corrupt youth. These were gangs that, you know, when you have the youth that are, you know, not good people. So Allah mentions there was nine of them and they were yufsidun. They were always causing chaos in the city. So they're the ones, this mafia, this gang, they said, we're going to take on, you know, this challenge of harming the she-camel. So Allah mentions that, tis'atu rahtin. So youth can be good and positive and it can be negative as well. And the importance of youth and the importance of that age is especially mentioned in that beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, five are the questions every person will be asked, and one of them on your youth and what did you do with your youth. It is so important that it gets its own question. Allah will ask every one of us, those of you that are beyond the stage of youth, remember that if you haven't been good in your youth, you have to make up for it, because it is one of the five questions. And those of you that are still at that age of being in your young vitality, realize there's extra responsibility. You will not get this opportunity again. Those of you that are teenagers in your 20s, realize right now you are answering this question. What question? Allah Azza wa Jal will ask you, وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى. On his youth, what did he spend his youth on? How did he take advantage of that vital energy? And in another hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seven are the people, they will be sheltered on the day there is no shelter other than the shelter of Allah. And one of those seven, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. A young boy, a young man or a young woman who was raised up in their youthful era when they're worshipping Allah. They were pious in their youthful era. Once again, those of you that are young, you can get advantage of something we cannot do anymore. Those of you that are in your youthful years, listen to me carefully. You have the opportunity that we no longer have. What is that opportunity? Allah Azza wa Jal will shelter you on the day of judgment if you were maintaining your piety in your youth. In your youthful years, your teenage years, your 20s, if you can maintain piety, if you can avoid the major sins, if you can be regular in your prayer, if you can be a positive role model, then you are guaranteed on the day of judgment to be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood this and he prioritized the youth. Do you know, when you look at the early converts to Islam, a bulk of them were from what we would call the youth. A bulk of those early converts, they were young men and women. The list is so long, beginning obviously with Ali radiallahu anhu. He was not even a teenager when he embraced Islam. Zayd ibn Haritha was a young teenager. Ammar ibn Yasir was probably 14, 15 years old. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was 17 years old when he embraced Islam. He became the Ashra Mubashara. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was 17 and he was the first person to shoot a bow and an arrow for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, another of the Ashra Mubashara, he embraced Islam at the age of 18. Another great Sahabi, Zubayd ibn al-Awwam, was 18 years old. The Hawadi of the Prophet was 18 years old. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu embraced Islam at the age of 16 or 17. Ibn Mas'ud, that great companion, the one who became the icon of the Ummah, he became a Muslim at the age of 16, 17. The first person to be tortured in front of the Kaaba, the first person to recite the Quran loudly in front of the Kaaba in Mecca, Ibn Mas'ud embraced Islam at the age of 17. Another early youth convert, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the one who spoke to the Najashi. Do you know when he spoke to the Najashi? He was 21, 22 years old. Can you imagine at the age of 21, 22, and you are speaking to the king of Abyssinia and you're negotiating on behalf of the Ummah? That's Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. Another of the youth who embraced Islam played a vital role, the famous Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam, the one whose house the Prophet used as a base. Do you know when he converted to Islam? He was barely 14 years old. And the reason why they chose his house, because as a youth, nobody would think he inherited his house. Nobody would think his house would be used for a base of Muslims. So they used his house and he converted at the age of 14. Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. And even Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, many people don't know this. He was in his 20s, mid to maybe 26, 27 when he converted to Islam. A young professional, he was in his 20s when he converted to Islam. The point is, the youth played a vital role. The new generation, that vital era, it played an important role in the formation of Islam. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized the talents of the youth, the passion of the youth. He recognized the potential of the youth. And that's why from amongst the youth, he would regularly choose people who could do that which the elders could not do. He had no problems giving massive responsibilities to the next generation. And this is something that we in our generation have a problem with. We all know this. We, the elders, never want to give the youth a chance. We, the elders, keep every power to ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ, he wouldn't give it to everybody, but he would see amongst the next generation who is there, and he would then give them massive responsibilities. You want some examples? So many from the seerah. The first ambassador, the first da'i, the first preacher that the Prophet ﷺ chose to go preach when he was still alive, he chose Mus'ab ibn Umair to go to Medina, to Yathrib, and to preach Islam. The first person to be a da'i appointed, the first, if you like, wa'idh and preacher, was somebody in his early 20s, Mus'ab ibn Umair, and he was so successful. His da'wah converted 1/3 of the people of Medina, subhanAllah. Allah blessed him. He converted 1/3 of the people of Medina, and he was a young man when he did so. Another young man that the Prophet ﷺ appointed, an amazing appointment here, is Attab ibn Asid, or Usaid, depending on how you say it. Attab ibn Asid, he was a cousin of Uthman ibn Affan. When the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, he had to go to Hunain, he had to go to Ta'if. Somebody had to be left in charge of Mecca. He chose a cousin of Uthman who was 21 years old to become the governor and the prayer leader in Mecca, what he had liberated. And when he returned from Taif, he said to Attab, "You remain here and I will go back to Medina." He appointed Attab, 21 years old, as the first governor. So in the history of Islam, the first Muslim governor of Mecca was 21 years old. And he remained governor until the Prophet passed away in the time of the Khulafa Rashidun. They continued using him. So he was the one who became the Khatib of Mecca, the prayer leader of Mecca, the Imam of Mecca, and the governor of Mecca. At what age? 21 years old. Can you imagine? And this again, the Prophet himself appointed. Another famous companion, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, in the Battle of Uhud, was again chosen, even though he was relatively young, and he technically should not have been allowed to go, but he insisted, and he said, "I can do it, Ya Rasulullah." So he was allowed to go and participate. Also, we have multiple incidents in the seerah in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took aside the youth. He advised them privately, or he gave them specific nasiha. Sometimes, for example, he took Ibn Abbas aside and he said, "Ya ghulam, O young boy, I'm going to teach you some advice. Listen to it carefully. Ya ghulam, O young boy, I'm going to teach you something." He would advise Anas ibn Malik and he would constantly give him specific advice. He gave a lecture once and he specifically specifically said to the youth, Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O young men amongst you, you should get married as soon as you can. Don't go into the haram left and right. He gave specific advice for the youth, making sure that they remained firm upon their deen. He would also give dispensations for the younger of the generation. In the Battle of Khandaq, it's an interesting story, that right before the Battle of Khandaq began, it so happened that one of the young men, he had gotten married right before the Battle of Khandaq. And of course, nobody knows that the attack is going to happen. And so when the Battle of Khandaq begins, everybody has to be on the front of the city, you know, guarding the city. So this young man comes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a newlywed and my wife is all alone at home. Do you give me permission to go back and spend the nights with her? Out of all of the Sahaba, everybody's in the front line, but he's a young man, newlyweds, you know, that's the... So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you may go every night, go back. But he said, make sure, because you're in the corner of the city, there's between the wall and between the line of defense and between the house, you're going to walk through many difficult areas. He said, be careful, the Banu Qurayza don't attack you. So I command you, you must be fully armed when you walk between the front and to your house, but you may go and stay at your house. Literally, the Prophet ﷺ understands, okay, he needs to go home, he's a newlywed. Khalas. So he would go home every night, because he was a young man who had just gotten married. The rahmah that the Prophet ﷺ had for somebody that had just gotten married. Also, we have the famous incident, Sahih Bukhari, Malik ibn Huwayrith says that in the ninth year of the Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ held the delegation years. You know, the tribes would come. And he held we would call it a summer camp, I'm using the word here, where he trained us for 20 or 21 days. Every day he would come and teach us Quran, teach us. We were agitated because we were a group of shabab, Malik is saying, we were a group of young men and we were getting agitated. And so he asked us about our families, listen to this, and he saw how much we missed our families. How much we missed our families. Then Malik said, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَحِيمًا رَؤُوفًا حَلِيمًا. The Prophet ﷺ was super tender and compassionate and soft. And when he saw we were missing our families, he said to us, go return to your families and teach them what I have taught you. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. A group of young men in summer camp, you know, they're attending with the Prophet ﷺ, but after a week, after 10 days, after 20 days, you know, they want to go back home. And they didn't say anything, but the Prophet ﷺ saw that, you know, they're getting agitated. So he said, he asked us about our families. In our response, he could tell that we're missing our families. And so he, next day he came to us, he goes, go back and return to your families. And what I have taught you, go teach them as well. Subhanallah, just the compassion that he had, that knowing that, you know, the youth are not, they want to be back home, but whatnot, let them go back 20 days is more than enough. Also, in the seerah, we learn the compassion, the tenderness the Prophet ﷺ had. Because when you're young, sometimes you might, you know, ask or say something that is not the most appropriate. In the famous incident in Bukhari and Muslim, well known, a young Bedouin, you know, a Bedouin comes. And, you know, the Bedouins didn't have manners. They didn't know how to speak properly. And he enters into the masjid. Imagine everybody sitting here. And from the back of the masjid, he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to fornicate with a woman. I don't want to get married, I want to do zina. In front of everybody, he said this. Sahih Bukhari hadith says, the Sahaba began raising their voices, you know, saying things, how can you say this? And they were raising their voices in protest and anger. The Prophet motioned to them, just be quiet. He said, Udnu, come close to me. So this young man walks through the whole crowd, sits in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Notice, no harshness, no anger. And the Prophet said, would you like strange men to fornicate with your mother? And he said, no, of course not. Would you like with your aunt? No, of course not. Would you like with your sister that men go and use her like a plaything? No, of course not. So too, other people don't like that their mothers, their sisters, their daughters be played with as well. And then he put his hand on the chest of this young man. And he said, Allahumma fir dhanbahu wa tahhir qalbahu wa hassin farjahu. He made dua for him. Oh Allah, purify his heart, forgive his sin, protect, forgive his sins, protect his private part. And that dua the young man stood up, and the Sahabi says there was nothing more despicable to him than zina. He hated it because the Prophet taught him in a compassionate manner and made dua for him. SubhanAllah, this is a young man coming with an awkward question. I ask you by Allah, if a young man comes with an awkward question now, a young man comes and asks a question we think is blasphemous. Astaghfirullah, how dare you? Ya akhi, you have to allow question answer. You have to be allowing that space for them to express themselves. By the way, that's the goal of our class on Tuesday. It's a safe space, as you guys like to call it. Inshallah, we're going to allow open discussion and whatnot over there, inshallah ta'ala. You have to allow this because a young man needs to be able to express and find out. And the way to respond to a young man is not the same as the way you respond to a sheikh or somebody who understands what he's talking about. We learned this from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course, a funny anecdote as well. Anas ibn Malik was probably 8-9 years old at the time. Anas ibn Malik, he was the khadim of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, one day the Prophet ﷺ sent me to do some chores, some task. So I went outside, irritated, and I found a bunch of boys playing. They also played, maybe not soccer, but they played something back then. So I began playing with them and I forgot about the chore. Next thing I know, somebody's picking me up from my ears, like picking me up from my ears. And I looked around and it was the Prophet ﷺ laughing at me. And he said, oh Anas, what happened to my chore? What happened to my task? And he said, how did Ya Rasulullah? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to go do it right now. And he went and he did it. The Prophet ﷺ let it go, laughing at him. It's like he's a kid. You can't expect perfection from a child, right? You find that tenderness, that compassion. And there's that famous incident, it's a little bit complicated, but a child had lost a pet, right? And the child was very sad. It was maybe 5-year-old. A child had a pet bird, you know, just a parrot bird or something. And the Prophet ﷺ, you know, cheered him up in front of the public. He saw the child, you know, sad and whatnot. The child would bring his pet to the masjid. The child would bring the pet bird to the masjid. Who amongst us can bring a pet bird to the masjid now? And one day the Prophet saw that the child is sad and the bird is not there. So he figured out immediately that, you know, the child is sad. So in front of everybody to lift up the child's spirits, right? So he, you know, teased, not teases in the right word, but he made a statement that's going to make the child remember and be happy and proud that the Prophet remembered me, right? Ya Aba Nughayr ma fa, Ya Aba Umayr ma fa'ala Nughayr. Like he teased the name of the child and made the child happy in this regard. The point is that he's monitoring, he's making sure the children feel a part of the masjid, feel a part of that community. And we said our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was gentle in correcting the youth. I forgot one example, which is very, very relevant. SubhanAllah, again, it's an awkward thing, but this is from the seerah, Sahih Bukhari as well, and Ibn Hisham, that Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, the Prophet was doing Hajj, and Al-Fadl was with him. And a young lady comes, and Al-Fadl was a young man, and a young lady comes asking a fiqh question. And the Rawi, the report says that, and she was a young, beautiful lady. And Al-Fadl began staring at her. Staring at her, like he's a young man, he's not married, he's staring at her. And the Prophet ﷺ sees Al-Fadl staring. SubhanAllah, look at the adab of the Prophet ﷺ. He put his hand on the beard of Fadl and he gently turned the face somewhere else. That's it. No harshness, no yelling and screaming, no teaching him with an adab that he's never gonna forget. Literally put his hand and said, go turn that way. That's it. He got the message, right? There was no yelling, no screaming. There's a way to teach the youth with gentleness and compassion that you have to expect from somebody like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, the Prophet realized the youth have potential that the elders do not have. Hadith is in Sahih Bukhari that he called Zayd ibn Thabit. Zayd ibn, there's two Zayds, both of them are youth. Zayd ibn Haritha in Mecca, and he was of course the quote-unquote adopted son, remember that story of the Prophet? This is Zayd ibn Thabit in Medina. Both of them were youth. Zayd ibn Thabit was a young boy. He accepted Islam at the age of 11, and he had memorized more than 15 surahs before the Prophet migrated. In fact, it is said he memorized all of Surah Yusuf, and he recited it to the Prophet as a young boy at the age of 11. The Prophet heard him recite Surah Yusuf. So Zayd ibn Thabit, the Prophet called him. He was maybe 15, 16 years old. And he said to Zayd that I need a scribe, I need a secretary who will specialize in Hebrew, in Ibriya, so that I can write letters to the tribes of Yathrib that are in Medina that are Yahudi. So I want you to learn Hebrew. I want you to learn the language so that I can write letters and get from their scribes. I don't want to use a scribe amongst them. I don't know what they're going to do, mistranslate. I need somebody from my own who understands the language. So Zayd said, I learned Hebrew in 15 days. 15 days, full time. I learned to read and write Hebrew. By the way, Zayd had grown up in Medina, so he spoke some basic Hebrew, but he learned reading and writing, and he learned fluency in 15 days. What old man can do this, right? This is the vibrancy of the youth, and the Prophet realized this. So he chooses the young man in order to do something that an older person is not able to do. And he also understood that sometimes young people take their overzealousness a bit too far. The famous hadith you're all aware of in Sahih Bukhari as well, that a group of young men came to our mother Aisha and they said, describe the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she described his ibadah, they said, we can do more than this. He is Rasulullah. Allah has forgiven him. We have to do more than this. And so they made a promise amongst themselves. We're going to pray tahajjud without ever going to sleep for the rest of our lives. And we're going to not marry any women. And we're going to... So they made lots of conditions on themselves. And this is one of the things we find, that sometimes youth, yes, they have good energy, but the energy becomes zealous, overzealous, fanatical. This is very common as well, that you have all spectrums amongst youth. That youth, yes, if their energy is tapped into with wisdom, mashallah, tabarakallah. If their energy is tapped into for misuse and abuse, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. And sometimes their energy is tapped into for overzealousness, for fundamentalism, for ideas that are not good. We see this as well. We find this over here as well. When the Prophet heard that these youth were thinking they could do more than him, he called all of the people. And he didn't point them out. And he goes, why do some people say this and this? Don't you realize I am Rasulullah and I am atqakum wa a'lamukum. I have the most taqwa and I have the most ilm. And I fast and I break my fast. And I sleep and I pray tahajjud. And I marry women. This is my sunnah. Whoever leaves my sunnah has left my way. So the youth can potentially also take that energy and go beyond what they need to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood this. But the youth can also do bravery, what the elders cannot do. In a famous incident that took place when the munafiqun were just rising up, Umayr ibn Sa'd, it's a famous story in the seerah. Umayr ibn Sa'd, who was probably 12, 13 at the time. Umayr ibn Sa'd had been raised up by his uncle, who was also his stepfather. So his uncle married his mother. And so his uncle raised him. So he loved him immensely like a father. But he didn't know his uncle was one of the leaders of the hypocrites. When they embraced Islam outwardly, Umayr really embraced Islam. His uncle did not embrace Islam. His uncle was a munafiq. Umayr did not know this. Long story short, that his uncle, I cannot repeat it because it's very vulgar, astaghfirullah, but he uttered vulgarities against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no, this is kufr. Yani to denigrate, to put down the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make fun of him, to use vulgar words about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la hawla quwwata illa billah, you have crossed the red line. There is no excuse for this. And Umayr was shocked because now he realized, my uncle is not a Muslim. He's pretending to. My stepfather, my the person who I love, is not a Muslim. He confronted his own stepfather, his uncle, and he said, I must inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. You are a munafiq. I heard you say this, because he said it in the gathering of hypocrites, and all of them are laughing. He joked against the Prophet. He joked about the Prophet, and the whole gathering is laughing. And they thought, what's Umayr gonna do? This is a hypocrite gathering, munafiqun. Umayr immediately crying tears because his heart is broken. He goes to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I heard my stepfather, my uncle say, and he said exactly what his uncle said. And the Prophet called the Sahaba, because this is a red line. If this is too much, that he called the uncle. And the uncle said, Ya Rasulullah, he's just a kid. He's just a boy. He's just a shab. He doesn't know what he is saying. And many of the other sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, the uncle is a senior. You know, he's a respected person in our community. This is just a shab. We don't have to obey him. We don't have to listen to him. And then the uncle swore by Allah. I swear by Allah that he's lying. I didn't say this. And Umayr is crying because he's a 12, 13 year old, and he says, Ya Allah, show who is the liar and who is the one telling the truth. Ya Allah, you show who is the liar, who is the one telling the truth. The Prophet did not say anything. He's between the two. He didn't just side with the older person just because he's older. He did not take into account, this is a young man, I'm going to dismiss. No, even though some of the other people in the audience said, he's a young man, don't worry what he's saying. No, the Prophet is listening. And while this is going on, immediately the Prophet closes his eyes. Means wahi is coming. Jibreel comes down at that point in time, and Allah revealed Surah At-Tawbah. يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. They swore by Allah, they did not say, but they said, and they committed kufr after their iman. And so the Prophet ﷺ praised Umayr, and he said, Allah has validated your story against his. And then the punishment and whatnot was done. My point is, the Prophet ﷺ did not take Umayr's youth as a disadvantage. Just because you're a young man, I cannot listen to you. No, he understood that sometimes the young person has more bravery and more honesty than an older person. And that is why one of the last things that he did, as you're all aware, one of the last things that he did is that he appointed, who did he appoint to be the final leader? Who can tell me? Usama ibn Zayd. And how old was Usama when he made that appointment? 17 years old. And many of the senior Sahaba were, and they're allowed to do this, like, you know, yeah, it's not, you know, wrong to question politely. They're not rejecting. It's okay to, you know, raise concerns. And so that mumbling begins amongst them, which is understandable. He's only 17. And by the way, where was Usama being sent? He was being sent against the Roman Empire. Can you imagine? The most, you know, important ghazwa, the most important battle that is going to take place. And he puts Usama in charge. And he says to the Sahaba, this was his last public khutbah before he fell ill. When he fell ill, he gave other khutbahs, but this was the last khutbah before he fell ill. And he was irritated at this, and he goes, you did not like the leadership of his father before him, and you criticize his father, and now you criticize his leadership as well. And so he refused to change the leadership of Usama, and that's why when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq took charge, even Umar ibn al-Khattab said, okay, let's change Usama. He says, no, I cannot change what the Prophet himself, you know, requested. And he made sure Usama was the one in charge of that expedition. And it was that expedition that paved the way to eventually conquer Baytul Maqdis. Can you imagine? It was the first of many expeditions. It was that expedition that was the first domino that eventually caused the Muslims to conquer Baytul Maqdis. And we can go on and on and on. The point is, the seerah clearly demonstrates the Prophet ﷺ paid special attention to the next generation, and he took them into account and took their feelings into account, and he was the murabbi, gave them the tarbiyah that they required. So my advice to myself and the elders, learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my advice to the youth here, take the role models of the Sahaba as your role models. You can accomplish a lot. Frankly, you have the potential, inshallah ta'ala, to accomplish more than the elders, because you have the energy, the enthusiasm, the passion that we do not have. So make dua to Allah, learn from the wisdom of the elders, but then take that passion and channel it to something good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see our youth rise up and take on the banner of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our next generation and cause them to carry the torch of Islam for many, many generations to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause all of our families to be righteous, to be protected, their children and their progeny after us, after them, and to allow the kalima to continue all the way until the day of judgment. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Faya dhulli wa ya khajali idha ma qala li rabbi ama istahiyaita ta'asini ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضاي.